Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that is still just one show until we absorb another wrestling podcast just to split it in two again. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the bizarre one, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Andrew.
What is your breath okay? What was going on there?
Oh, it was good. I think I was feeling almost, I guess you could say, the spirit of Gold Dust in me. Rest his soul.
The late departed Gold Dust.
Yes, yes.
Don't worry, listeners. If you're listening to this out of context, Dustin Reynolds did not die.
He did not.
He's just not going to be playing the Gold Dust character any longer.
Just not
going
to see Gold Dust again, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, I'm good, man. Doing well. It is the weekend, which is always a great time. A lot has gone down in wrestling since we last spoke with you guys.
Yeah, we've had our post-WrestleMania hiatus. I almost feel like we're like Rip Van Winkle taking a slumber after WrestleMania because it was so long that we had to, get our energy back.
I like that.
Yeah. Is there been any wrestler who's had a Rip Van Winkle character?
I don't know, but that? This is going to, I can't think off the top of my head, but in the same vein, I feel like this is not the first time someone asked me that question. Someone else that's before crazy. Has been like, I bet they probably did a Rip Van Winkle gimmick.
Like, I mean, that would be fun just to have someone who like is stuck in the past and just like alarmed by the future.
Yeah.
Or the present rather. But that's not why we're here today to talk. We're here to catch you up on what's been going on. Since WrestleMania, there's been a lot that's happened, so we won't get into all of it. And this seems like a good time to be doing this episode because the Superstar Shakeup recently just happened, and things really are shaken up. It feels like a true reset. It almost feels like, we've had 21 movies straight in one series, and they're like, let's kill off a bunch of people. No spoilers here.
No spoilers.
But that's kind of what it feels like.
A little bit, yeah.
So we're going to get into the brand split a little bit later. But first, we have to deal with the fallout of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And a lot has happened. Titles have changed. Superstars have switched brands. Kevin Owens joined the New Day. Superstars have switched back to their original brands. Kevin Owens betrayed the New Day. And all of this before we even told you what we thought of WrestleMania.
And it hasn't been long. It's only been a few short weeks, and all of that has gone down.
That is crazy that it's only been like 3 weeks since WrestleMania. It feels like so much longer. So WrestleMania 35 happened, Tyler.
We got to enjoy it. We watched it at Andrew's lovely new residence in Manhattan, New York.
Yep. The address of which is, don't give out the address. we had a long weekend.
It was good. It was a long weekend. We watched Mania on Sunday, which was a blast. Mostly, I think, just we enjoyed it. We were watching Mania. We had some people over at Andrew's place, so it was a blast. But also, we knew that we didn't have to commute back from Jersey that night.
So. Yeah, yeah. Oh, is that... Okay, that's maybe the biggest takeaway, actually, and thing that we should talk about as WrestleMania. I think... That this WrestleMania,
start from the back, yeah. From the end.
I think this WrestleMania, in retrospect, will be like in the next few years will be looked upon as like a pretty good WrestleMania. I really do, but I think there's been a lot of criticism right now on the format. I guess you would say, in that this was the longest pay-per-view in the history of WWE.
Oh my God. See, like it even kind of felt like it. I guess in the moment I wasn't really realizing that, but I have to agree that I think in terms of matches, Well, okay, maybe not matches. In terms of, like, match outcome, I do think this is one of the better WrestleManias that has happened recently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think... There was, like, a few matches that were good, but I think in terms of match quality, it's right about par with the other ones. But in terms mm-hmm. of outcomes, it's everything we wanted. We got Becky Lynch leaves the champion, Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston. Like, everyone you wanted to win pretty much won, except for Kurt Angle.
Yeah. And I think that this is part of why I think it's going to go down as, like, a better WrestleMania is because... there were a lot of moments you can point to, even if the matches weren't that good, mm-hmm. That like in a video package, it's going to be looked on more favorably.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the show went until about 12:30 at night.
Yep.
And in Jersey, that meant that the PATH train went once right after the conclusion of the show. And that was it. So if you hung around, if you like stopped to go to the bathroom before leaving the stadium, if you did any of that, you then went into a, you know, thousands and thousands person long Uber line. So a lot of people weren't getting back until 4 or 5 in the morning. We saw. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because picture there was what, 80,000 people there. So
yeah, give or
take. Majority of them commuting from New York City, honestly. Yeah. And for those of you who aren't familiar with New York and Jersey, like the PATH train is pretty much the only train.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of other ways to get back.
Yeah.
In a succinct way. Mm-hmm. So like I thought, you know, we all went to the MSG show mm-hmm. on Saturday, and that was not like a fun subway ride back, but in retrospect it was great.
In retrospect, it was totally par for the course, not a problem.
Yeah. What was your favorite match from WrestleMania?
From WrestleMania, my favorite match, honestly, it had to be Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. I think it delivered on all fronts. Kofi won. We got the outcome we wanted. It was arguably probably the best wrestle match on the card. They had a lot of great near falls and moments like that. And in a weird way, because it was the halfway point of the pay-per-view is when it happened, so we were already about 3.5-4 hours in, that was the perfect time for the audience because... a normal pay-per-view would be like about 3 to 4 hours. So for the halfway point at WrestleMania was like a normal climax point for anyone watching a pay-per-view. So I think the crowd were into it. They reacted very well. The downside, of course, though, after it happened, like I'm pretty sure everyone there felt it too. Like the audience looked visibly gassed from that match onward.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. And, to take away our bias of me and you as like big wrestling fans, mm-hmm. this is why I like watching WrestleMania with non-wrestling people, mm-hmm. is that I think that the way that the people we were watching it with reacted after that also like proves that point.
Yes.
That it was right after that like everyone kind of died.
Yeah. Well, cause and like everyone was there for the Kofi match and like cause we were so into it, like they were into it too. And like once that match is over, it was, oh, like just, you know, that wave, like, oh my God, that was amazing. But yeah, it was about that point. I think people started to trickle out. They were like, okay, well I got to get home. Like,
yeah. Do you think that it was just that because that match was so good that it didn't matter whatever happened next, people were going to be tired? Or do you think it was the next hour and a half, like the booking of it specifically?
See, that's a tough question. I think it's probably a combo of both. I think in any pay-per-view, even if it's the opening match, if you have a match of that caliber that's going to, you know, get the audience off their feet and that invested in it, mm-hmm. You're going to be gassed afterwards regardless, even if it was the first match you saw. But at the same time, I mean, 8 hours is a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
And halfway through that, like, it just, oh, man.
I'm going to run down everything that happened between the Kofi Kingston match and the main event really quickly for you.
Okay.
With the ring times. So you have to also add, like, the times for entrances and
promos,
story packages
entrances,
and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like to know what you would have done differently with the book. Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, 1 minute. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, 10 minutes. Triple H, Batista, 24 minutes, 45 seconds, the longest match of the night.
Ugh.
Baron Corbin, Kurt Angle, 6 minutes. Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, 4 minutes.
Oh, wow. See, when you say it like that, it's wild. Yeah. So, though I really liked the Samoa Joe Ray squash match, honestly, I thought it made Joe look really strong, and I'm all for Samoa Joe looking strong. But I think with given the other times, so look, number one, that Batista Triple H match was way too long. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was the most disappointing thing of the weekend for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you could cut 10 minutes off that time and it'd be fine. Make that a 14 minute match or something.
I think honestly that match did not need to happen. If you take that,
it didn't need to happen, but it definitely didn't need 24 minutes.
No. Like two part-time wrestlers who are both past their prime who are not going to be in further storylines, have no business being the longest match on the longest show ever.
Yeah.
And to take out my griping pants a little bit more, I think I said this with you and Pat, where I wondered why it was if Triple H loses, he has to retire match instead of a loser must retire match.
Yeah.
And I feel that even stronger now that, you know, hours after the show was over, Batista tweeted that was his last match.
Well, so in a weird way, do you think it might be something, I could see WWE leaning more towards no longer doing retirement angles, or at least not not having someone lose a retirement angle.
Yeah,
because everyone seems to be coming back now. Like no one is ever actually retired anymore. Not even Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. So
yeah,
I could see them very well being like, yeah, we're just not going to do that anymore because we don't ever want to like have to go back on our word and reopen the door for a returning superstar or something like that.
Sure, I kind of buy Dave Batista as being done with wrestling, though.
Well, I mean, he got his Triple H match at WrestleMania. He's said that's how he wants to end his career, so.
Yeah, I just don't understand then why. Because I feel like part of the reason that people were dead for that match was that we all knew the outcome.
Yeah,
and I wonder if you could have changed that a little bit, maybe that would have sparked through the night a bit more. I feel like maybe. I also would have moved the Samoa Joe Ray to the pre-show. Or I would have cut it. I mean, I know Ray was hurt, which is probably why it was a smash like that. I imagine the only reason it remained on the card is because that was Samoa Joe's first WrestleMania match, right?
Oh, wow.
I think it was, because this first...
Was
last
he in
year
one
he
of
got,
the Battle Royals?
I don't think so. Probably last not. Year he was injured, and the first
wow,
year he
yeah.
got brought up right before and like didn't have
That must be
a
his
match.
First one.
So,
hmm.
Yeah.
I think the best for that was... If you switched the Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio time, like the squash match to Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, it would have been served way better.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that Bobby Lashley needed to put up any fight against Finn Balor. Like, you could have just, because he was in demon mode, so, like, you could have just had him go in there, squash Bobby Lashley real quick, have the title, and be done with it. At least that, I mean, even keep the squash match with Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio, then you're going to save yourselves a little more time. But
yeah.
What did, for you, Andrew, what was your favorite match of the week from NXT?
Man, I loved the main event a lot.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
Yeah, I know that Dave Meltzer felt
David
very
Meltzer
strongly
does.
About it. I don't know. We said this in the room and at the restaurant halfway through it that that show felt like each match was better than the last one.
Yes,
for me.
Yes.
So it's tough for me to actually separate them because I thought that was just such a pleasant show.
It really was,
and a rewatchable show. But I think that main event was a logical conclusion to like the NXT calendar year for me. You know,
I agree.
So yeah, so like storyline wise. Two and match like work rate plus storyline, it all was perfect.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think because I definitely like how you said it, that every match was better than the one before it. And it really felt that way. Like, honestly, one of my, probably before the main event happened, my favorite match was the women's match.
Yeah.
I don't know how to like say it really. Like, I didn't expect the women's match to be my favorite match. And they proved me wrong, and I was so happy about it. Like, those women did amazing in that match. The some of the spots they did, like the Sky Pirate spot where you and Sarah had like watched it happen, and they were like, "Oh my god!" And I was like, "What? I missed it." And they're like, "Don't worry, they'll show it again."
That was fantastic.
That was good. Bianca Belair's like double burning hammer thing. Like,
oh yeah,
I really enjoyed that match. Those women crushed it.
Yeah, if you're gonna go back and rewatch one show from start to finish from WrestleMania weekend, do the NXT one. Not just because it was the shortest, but because it was also the best.
Yeah.
What was your most memorable moment at G1 Supercard of Honor?
Oh boy. That's a tough one. So G1 was a blast. It was so much fun. Just from top to bottom, and even like the silly things, like with the Enzo and Cass moment I don't really even want to talk about much,
because it eventually became meaningless.
Yeah, it is
wrestling
to
with them.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that, like, but for me, I mean, watching Okada regain the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in Madison Square Garden was that. I mean, that in itself is really cool.
Mm-hmm. How did you like MSG as a venue for wrestling?
I actually really do. I really enjoy it.
That place is loud.
It's loud, and we like. It felt like we were way up there, but at the same time, I felt like I could see everything very clearly.
Yeah.
But it was a blast. Honestly, I still think that PCO spot might be, I don't know if highlight's the right word. Like the moment that stands out most to me was that freaking PCO spot.
That was the craziest moment for me too. PCO, very large man, around 300 pounds, double power, not even power bombed, but just throwing over the top rope without anyone to catch him. Was scary.
But then when he did the sit up like afterwards, and the pop that the sit up got itself was such like an electric environment. I can't explain it. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was the singular like greatest moment for me. A lot of people, or like wrestling critics afterwards, have said of that show that the New Japan matches were great, and that all the Ring of Honor matches were not. How do you feel about that?
I honestly have to disagree a little bit. I think most of the Ring of Honor matches they didn't measure up necessarily, but at the same time, like, some of them were really great. Like the Rush squash over Dalton Castle in the moment. It was shocking. I was like, I don't know what just happened, but like, I actually really liked that. I thought that was amazing. It made Rush look amazing. Dalton Castle turn heel. So I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that ladder match at the end was very entertaining. One of the best ladder matches I've ever seen, really.
Yeah. It was everyone's favorite ladder match except for that one guy in the front row.
Oh my god!
Who got hit by the ladder.
Yeah, true.
Which that was, we were also watching with one non-wrestling person at that event, our dear friend Ryan Perro, who I think was beyond amused at that ladder just taking out a fan. Yeah. And I think that's all he was looking at after that.
Well, Sarah was there, and she wasn't as amused by it. She was more like in terror.
She went into lawyer mode.
She was, oh no, someone just got hit with the ladder.
Yeah. I thought that show was fantastic. If you didn't see it and you can watch a replay of it, I would say if you could only watch one match, the Kota Ibushi Naito match was really good and tight. It was 20 minutes. It was a tight 20.
And if you don't have 20 minutes, if you just got like 10 minutes, you can watch the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Triple Threat. That was just a blast. Yeah. They ran through that, did
really
some amazing
good
spots.
Yeah. Yeah, that was under 10 minutes, that match, too. Mm-hmm. So a successful show as well. Is there anything else from the weekend that we need to go over before moving on from WrestleMania weekend?
I mean, I don't know. For me personally, it was a blast. Really enjoyed it. Always enjoy watching some wrestling. That's always a great time. I mean, New York City is still like my nemesis. So.
The city of New York really did not want you to have a good time.
No, the city of New York does not like me, and I do not like it.
It's almost
from
like
traffic getting in and out of the city to just all kinds of silliness.
Stepping in gum,
losing my hat.
Yeah, those are like the most like New York-y things, I feel like.
Yes.
Like that's like a pair, like such a cliched, like, bad day in New York. At least you didn't have a fan run in and knock you over while you were being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
I did not. That did happen to someone over the weekend.
Yes. Yes, to one of the members of the Hart family,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. How'd you feel about the weekend? What was your takeaway?
It always exhausts me, those full weekends. There are so many shows at once. And,
that's why we're recording now for the first time, like 3 weeks later.
It does. Yeah, and I always have to have a hangover recovery period. I am happy with the amount of stuff that we did live in person. And I think that, like, I think for those big shows, I'm less inclined to go to them live again. I think that, now we've done the Rumble and we've done a big show on WrestleMania weekend.
Done Madison Square Garden.
I guess I would still do a WrestleMania.
I mean, I would maybe it's on the bucket list, man. Like, I gotta go to a WrestleMania.
But I do feel now like with the really big shows like that, if you do it once, I don't need to ever do it again. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I would much rather see like a 3-hour pay-per-view.
I'll go to Takeover any day.
I'll go to Vengeance. You know, assuming that's still on the WWE's pay-per-view.
That's still a thing.
Did you go? You went to a Vengeance, right? Is that what was the one that AJ Styles won the title at that you went to?
Oh, we went. That was a Backlash.
Backlash. Yes. I'm sorry.
Which I think Backlash took the spot of Vengeance or something.
Yeah,
like,
it was
the same
September.
It was the same concept. It was the that was when they changed it, when Backlash moved to September, because
that's what I'm saying, because Backlash usually is right after WrestleMania,
because it's the WrestleMania Backlash. Like, grammatically it makes sense.
Oh boy.
It was good. I'll go to a Takeover any day.
Worms.
All right, we got a word today for you lovely listeners.
Yes, we do.
So with it being, the weeks after WrestleMania, things everyone's talking about now is the brand split, the draft, if you will.
The superstar shakeup,
yes. And if you're asking what that is...
The Connecticut clusterfuck.
I feel like that would be like a Southpaw regional version of it.
Yeah, exactly. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, continue. You're fine. But so for those of you guys asking, what is the brand split? Do not worry. We are here to answer these incredibly important questions for you. So, Andrew, if you'd like to start, what is this big, wonderful thing called the brand split?
Yes, the brand split is the separation of WWE's talent roster and at various times creative staff as well into distinct divisions or brands. So the brands currently are Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. The idea being that certain talent or all talent is designated to one show or the other and will only appear on that show's programming. Mm-hmm. And there have been other brands at certain times. ECW was a brand for a while that was involved in with this. 205 Live and NXT and NXT UK are their own brands within WWE as well, although they don't. They're not involved in the brand split in the same way that Raw and SmackDown is, if that makes sense.
I would say that they don't necessarily compete on the same level. We've talked before about how NXT is like WWE's developmental brand. It's their minor leagues.
Yeah. And then 205 Live lives in some space in between those.
Some weird multiverse in between, yes.
Yeah. So the first brand split, though, happened in March 2002. It is a way to look at the end of the Attitude Era, if you're looking for things that ended it, mm-hmm. or like the first big thing that happens in the wake sense. Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you tell us why the brand split originally happened, Tyler?
Yes. Yeah. So in 2002, this was, again, the kind of end of the Attitude Era, the culmination of the Attitude Era. And this marks the beginning of WWE transitioning into a new era, a new company, if you will.
Yeah, because I guess they have to change the name right around that time.
I think that's around the time that they started promoting to younger audiences. Mm-hmm. They very well could have, like, that could have been the time when they moved from USA to like Spike or
to
something
TNN,
like that. For all
Spike,
I know,
yeah. The Nashville Network.
That could very well be a thing. But so the main impetus was, WWF at the time, it was just one company, one brand coming out of the invasion storyline with WCW, their rival promotion,
and so ECW too. Yeah.
So if we've talked about the invasion, I think, before in the show, I don't remember how deep we've gone into it, but basically, mm-hmm. the culmination of that storyline was that in the very real world, Vince McMahon had purchased the rights of the company of World Championship Wrestling, and then owned the company and all of its assets, and that meaning the roster. Now, a lot of the WCW roster, they chose to not offer contracts or like keep contracts, mm-hmm. basically. But for a lot of the main guys, they did. So
I think this is important before you move on really quickly, though. Yes. Actually, like, for the people who were allowed to come over and decided not to, why did they do that?
I think this is important.
Yeah.
This goes back to the WCW contracts. When Ted Turner was signing a lot of these guys, he was just throwing around a lot of stupid money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these contracts, they were, I mean, I don't know the exact terminology.
They were guaranteed
amounts that a lot of these guys were getting paid very top dollar on their WCW contracts. And had they accepted these new WWE contracts, they would have lost the rest of that money that was due to them. So a lot of them were like, no, I think I'm going to sit at home and just get paid.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted people to know that that's why a lot of the bigger stars didn't come over right away.
That's exactly why, because they still had fat contracts that were going to pay them to sit at home.
Yeah.
But so for the superstars that did make the jump over, WWE essentially overnight doubled its roster in size, really. And having that many superstars, it really necessitated to have this brand split, essentially, to give, and each brand had its own separate titles, its own separate rosters, so you could offer more screen time to more people, more championships and things like that. Like, it totally made sense where there was too many people and not enough to go around. So the first brand split actually started in March of 2002. And it ran for a very long time, actually. Around 2006 was when they introduced the revived version of ECW as their third brand on the Sci-Fi Network. That one always like blew my mind because it was on Sci-Fi Network, and clearly part of the contract with Sci-Fi was that had to have more sci-fi elements. So that's when you started to see the new revived ECW having zombie characters and vampire characters mummy characters.
Like, I will contend that vampire character could have worked. Kevin Thorne and Ariel.
Ariel,
Is that what they put Shelly Martinez as? Yeah.
That sounds
right.
That
could have worked.
It honestly, I wasn't a fan, but like I could see how it could have worked. So then ECW came around, and then this is still considered the first brand split because, no, of course, WWE, they have done things multiple times over, and so this first brand split lasted until about 2010, And this, I'm sorry. The first split lasted until about 2011, where they joined the rosters together. Raw and SmackDown were now all under the WWE umbrella. We're going to have one top title and so forth, which it's weird. Cause like for someone like me who started watching wrestling in like, you know, the '90s when a brand split wasn't a thing, I've always preferred it that way.
Yeah.
Where this is your company, you have one roster, you have one top title and everything. But so again, sometimes it necessitates that split.
Yeah, I think that the end of the first split was because suddenly the roster got smaller again, or they didn't have as many people who could do work rate. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the death of that being really slow. It was one of those things where like the brand split only works if you stay consistent with the rule that Raw wrestlers are only on Raw and SmackDown wrestlers are only on SmackDown. And you can blur it around WrestleMania. I think that's fine to like bring everybody
Survivor
together.
Series, of course.
Yeah. But then you gotta like split it right back up. And for like 2 or 3 years, it seemed like they just ignored it because ECW got absorbed by SmackDown. Or they were doing a thing where wrestlers could appear on both of those shows simultaneously. And that really muddied it up. And then all of a sudden, it was like Raw SmackDown Super Show or something. They would call it the Super Show so that like big SmackDown stars could be on Raw for big angles. And then all of a sudden, SmackDown, for like 2 years, it did not matter if you watched it. You could literally not watch it and still totally understand the stories going on if you only watched Raw. So I was happy that they eventually officially killed it, but like when they did announce that, I remember thinking for a while like, oh, I thought that this had been over for a year.
Yeah. So weirdly the flip side, so I took a break from watching wrestling for a time, which honestly it's a lot of wrestling fans do. There's times where you'll take a several year break from watching, and this was on one of my wrestling breaks. I probably stopped watching around, I'd say like 2008, probably around 2008 when I graduated high school, and then went to college. And honestly, I wasn't really watching wrestling in college. It was, I never had cable, so I didn't really have access to it anymore. And this was before they had the WWE Network and everything. And I didn't get back into wrestling probably until about 2013, 2014. So when I stopped watching wrestling, they were right in the middle of the brand split. And by the time I came back, it had already been dissolved. But to me, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know there'd been a change.
That's amazing that you had no, like, that's so great.
I had no idea there'd been a change.
So then they reintroduced the brand split in 2016.
Yes.
Which is kind of the beginning again with NXT becoming what it is, that you start having a really large roster again. The roster now, just the number of bodies that WWE has, so many that they had to do the brand split again. And we get a second draft, a totally redone draft with general managers for each show. And we've still been in that brand split today, even though the general managers are now gone.
Another thing, I guess, point to just bring up with that, the general managers. So when they first did the brand split of Raw and SmackDown, because before that, when it was just one show, your figurehead, your evil power was always Vince McMahon, because he was obviously the guy in charge. By splitting the brands, Vince was still the overarching leader of like everything, but it wasn't feasible for him, of course, to appear on both shows all the time. So they kind of made these new de facto like evil corporate villains.
And some of them weren't villains too. So sometimes some dichotomies where like, where one would be a face and one would be a heel. And it was nice because you could still always have Vince come in and be in a bigger position of power to them. It's almost like it's super Greek theater-y, and like having, if you think of the general manager as like a king, that then like Vince could still be like the gods, you know? Like come down and really just mess people up.
Yeah.
But I mean, without the brand split, you would not have gotten really prominent on air characters for Eric Bischoff. mm-hmm. for Stephanie McMahon really came into her own as a general yeah. manager to mm-hmm. me. And yep. you would have not had all of the great memes of Teddy Long.
Teddy Long?
Saying
yep, yep.
"Da Undertaker." And
you wouldn't have Teddy Long making tag team matches.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have Vicky Guerrero yelling at you.
You wouldn't have, was it Mike Rome or whatever saying Jeff Harvey?
Mike Rome.
Yeah, he was the guy who said Jeff yeah. Harvey. Yeah, I think he was a GM for a little bit. I don't remember. There were a yeah. lot at a certain point.
There were a lot, yeah.
Do you think that, we should also say that a big part of the brand split, like their annual biggest moment was the draft,
mm-hmm.
and then annually known as kind of like a supplemental draft where just like a few people would switch. And then it became a shakeup when the kayfabe didn't work because it would be like, why are the general managers making these trades? Mm-hmm. So then it was like kind of a draft lottery. It was a random thing of events. And now it's just a superstar shakeup. So we know that people are being moved, but we don't yes. have any like reason why other than like fate.
See, I don't like that. Like mm-hmm. I preferred it far more when they had drafts and everything because you could have at least worked that into storyline. Like I always remember it might have been like the first real draft they did because they split the brands.
Yeah, they didn't do like a full draft.
Yeah. Yeah, but the first real draft happened after WrestleMania 21, which mm-hmm. was where Batista won the World Heavyweight Championship for the first time. John Cena won his very first WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. And at the time, John Cena was on SmackDown, Batista was on Raw. And I remember that draft because the very first night of the draft, Raw drafted John Cena, the WWE Champion. Mm-hmm. And then, because I think the draft was like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And so for the next like week or so, they kept running the storyline like Raw has both champions. Raw has the WWE champion and the World Heavyweight Champion. What is SmackDown going to do? And so on the following SmackDown, the last night of the draft, even they played it up so much. I'll never forget this. I don't know why this is standing out so much to me. But they played it up so much that they had, I think it was Teddy Long. Teddy Long had announced that they had to create a new title for SmackDown because both of the top champions are on Raw. Mm-hmm. So they had to make a new title, and they had it like hidden in like the black velvet bag like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline was JBL had just lost his title to John Cena. So JBL was like, look, just give me my title. We'll be good to go. Like, it's fine. Just give me my title. All forgiven. And then and at the end of the night, Teddy Long comes out and he's like, wait, hold on a second, player. And then like, he's like, I want to announce my final pick. And then Batista comes out with the World Heavyweight title. I understand I just recap that whole storyline for you.
No, that's great, though.
But it was great. Like, those are the moments where I was like, man, the draft can be so compelling and cool. Mm-hmm. Where the flip side is, had John Cena showed up on Raw and then a week later Batista showed up on SmackDown just because, mm-hmm. like, it's not the same. I'm not invested in that. Like, tell me, yeah. give me a story, WWE.
There is less storytelling convention right out the bat. It feels more like trying to create a social moment with the current shakeup format. I feel like they don't have to go, well, they can't go back to the original, like, draft picking since there aren't GMs. But I think that they could and should go back to the, like, random lottery. So at least we're seeing, like, a Tumblr yeah. or, like, names
the,
being
the
picked out, you know.
Tumblr, yeah. I'm okay with yeah. that one.
I think it helps storylines better. I think we should mention, too, that, like, the value of this as a annual show is to not only just freshen up the product, but it does allow you to do conventional things in wrestling with a pass that otherwise you wouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to break up a tag team, you have to have one of them turn heel. Well, not with the draft. You actually have the one time a year where you can just have them get randomly split up.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't have to both be bad guys.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to continue to have a show like the Shake Up and something like this. Although this year's was very... it felt very different. Mm-hmm. And it's still kind of like ongoing too
yeah.
in the moment. I should say though,
I wasn't exactly sure when it started or when it was going to end, or
it still might not be over.
Yeah,
we'll see. A lot of people have moved and then moved back, and we have certain reasons why we think that, and we'll get into those. But really quickly before we move on to that, I'm curious if you have any other. I guess you gave us your favorite draft moment in history.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
I loved seeing Triple H get drafted to SmackDown, which seemed like a political backstage thing that would never happen.
Yeah, I did. That was a good one.
And he moved back almost instantly.
Almost instantly.
Apparently, and this is crazy to me, and you can hear Bruce Pritchard talk about this on his podcast a lot, that Vince wanted it to be this really surprising moment, so the talent were not told mm-hmm. where they were going. They learned live on TV. And Triple H did not know he was being moved, and then like a day later was moved back. So he definitely had some pull. I'll also say that, like, to the point of like how much they protected these secrets, when it wasn't just a draft pick, because there was the great visual from the original draft of like all the wrestlers sitting in this like green room together.
Yeah.
And like, there's some, like, that's a really fun episode of Raw to go back and watch. Mm-hmm. But once it became just like a random draft like thing on the Titantron, they would have six wrestlers randomly called to stand in gorilla position. And it's, if you heard your music go, you go out, and that's how you know that you've been drafted.
Wow.
I think that's so great.
That is pretty good, because that's such like a weird, like, we're going to test your improv skills here. Yeah. Like,
we're going to know instantly how you actually feel about having your schedule changed. There's one more thing I think we should talk about with how this convention of a brand split works before we get into who's split up this year. Mm-hmm. And that is, Tyler, how do pay-per-views work, or how have they worked in the brand split before?
So this has been something that has changed a lot over the years. And it makes sense. Like, they have to alter it to see like what's working, what isn't working, what's the best for business here. So originally, after the first brand split happened, they did, I'm pretty sure they did. I think they split, or no. After the first brand split, they were still sharing pay-per-views.
It
was so long ago, like, it's hard for me to remember, because I feel like there was a specific time where they split the pay-per-views and they were like, these are Raw pay-per-views, these are SmackDown pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that didn't happen until the second brand split, but I could be way off on that.
I'm looking it up now because I'm curious. Yeah.
But so anyway,
you're right.
So,
you're right. They didn't split them right away.
Yes. So they would share pay-per-views. Pay-per-views just being, and back then in the day, it was pretty much just, we had one pay-per-view at the end of every month, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or at least not the end of every month, but one pay-per-view a month. And so they would share the pay-per-views where you would have SmackDown-specific matches and Raw-specific matches on the same card, but they still wouldn't have the superstars interact. You wouldn't have a Raw superstar versus SmackDown superstar, typically. This ultimately leading to them deciding to split the pay-per-views between the different brands. Mm-hmm. And this also necessitated them to add more pay-per-views.
Yeah. This starts in 2003, by the way.
The
facts.
Yeah. Got the facts. So at this time, they started having brand-specific pay-per-views where, like, Backlash and Great American Bash were only SmackDown superstars, only SmackDown matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things.
Bad
like,
Blood,
you know,
and Unforgiven.
Bad Blood and Vengeance were only.
Vengeance was SmackDown. I have the list in front of me now, which is the only reason I remember this.
that would be a good quiz later. Is like, can you guess which pay-per-views were what brands?
Yeah. What brand was Taboo Tuesday, Tyler?
That's got to be Raw.
It was, yeah.
Yes!
But then, even then, the four big pay-per-views would still remain co-branded.
Yeah. The big four. And this also, I think, adding to one of the reasons why they're called the big four, not just that they were the first four they created, but The big four pay-per-views being the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. These four, they still shared these, where you would have both brands have matches on the cards. Survivor Series and the Rumble usually being the only pay-per-views where you would actually see Raw superstars face off against SmackDown superstars.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all like sometimes they would do it, sometimes they wouldn't. Like it's wrestling.
Yeah. So then they eventually got rid of the idea of these singular brand pay-per-views.
And I think that was a fairly recent thing.
Yeah. Well, then in the reboot, in the brand split that we are currently in, they started with singular brand pay-per-views and very quickly decided against that. Do you think that is... Well, here's the thing. There have been rumors for the last few months that maybe the brand split is going to end again. Do you think that the WWE should end the brand split, or do you think they should continue and just keep all the pay-per-views co-branded?
At this point, I think you have to continue. their roster right now is arguably the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And if they decide to ultimately work it into a sense of like NXT and 205 Live, even though 205 Live is probably going to be going away soon.
Mm-hmm.
NXT like becomes its own brand, like on the same level of Raw and SmackDown, like that would help. But the problem is within this system, and especially their developmental system, there's always kind of the assumption that you are working to get to the main roster. You're working to get to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown Live. And the problem is if you get rid of the brand split, your top guy in the company is now the biggest part of Raw and SmackDown. So mm-hmm. he's going to get the biggest time slot of Raw and SmackDown. So you're losing a lot of opportunity for that roster. And with that many people on the roster, so many people are going to get swept under the rug.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like a necessary evil unless they're going to let a lot of people walk away from their contracts, which they're not going to now that AEW exists. Mm-hmm. So they either have to reduce the roster, which they're mm-hmm. doing the opposite of. They're actually like signing more people.
They're signing more people. They're trying to keep people. Like
the only way I could see the brand split ending is because here's what excites me about the future of the brand split is that come October, it's not going to be Raw versus SmackDown so much as NBC versus Fox, right?
<Yeah.
laughs> So I think that will make it actually interesting in a like brand supremacy kind of way. The only way I could see it going away is if it becomes too much of a nightmare to try to keep both of those sides happy.
Well, because I think it's going to be very hard because now that they're negotiating with two different TV stations, I mean... It's because right now, honestly, the number one problem is going to be Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is the biggest name in the company. And I know for a fact that like both of those stations are going to want her on their program. So what are you going to do?
But don't you love the potential, Tyler, of a totally out of storyline, like actual draft that happens yearly? Between the executives WWE people sitting in the middle being like, oh, crap.
I do. I really like that. I think it's cool. But because it's also in the same vein, like that sort of reasoning of like having these top performers that we want on both shows. Like, I mean, how long can you do that before this brand split that you keep telling us is a thing doesn't matter?
Yeah. It's people have to be in their brands for a long time and be thought of as synonymous with the brand for it to work. You can't just flip-flop everyone every year. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But speaking of who got flip-flopped this year, there were a lot of people that moved and a lot of people that were called up, a lot of people who had been called up a few months earlier who now have official homes. A lot of people have returned and been repackaged. It feels like a legitimate sea change. A lot of people are injured right now, coming out of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. which is weird. Like, that was something that almost flew over my head. Like, I didn't realize how many people were out on injury.
Yeah, a lot. In the room when we were like, "Ooh, Big E looks like he just pulled his back." Yep. We were right.
Yeah, he did.
So what I want to ask, Tyler, and there are so many people who moved that we can't just go through all of them, but who coming out of this superstar shakeup do you look at as having benefited from it the most?
I think a lot of people did well. Honestly, I think a lot of people did well in this. For me, like,
I've got the list up too. If you
honestly,
if you
like, I feel like I'd have to say probably the person I feel like who did the well is Roman.
Yeah,
because he doesn't have a title right now, but he's still Roman Reigns, and by moving him to SmackDown and giving him the spotlight there, like, he's now going to be like essentially Fox's golden goose on that show. Mm-hmm. So that's going to give him a lot more pull, like a lot more, you know, his name's going to be out there even so much more. Like, clearly, if they wanted to make Roman Reigns their next John Cena, well, this is the way to do it. Put him on Fox.
I think it's also smart to surround him with people who are known for their work rate.
Yes.
That is still the big difference between the two rosters, is there's just more people who can carry matches physically on SmackDown. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think that it's good for him to get a new, fresh batch of people who can do interesting matches with him.
He can have matches with people that are like overall like praised is what it is.
Cause we've seen that is actually the times that his career has gone best for him has been when he's with someone who the audience doesn't immediately check out with.
Yeah.
And in that same vein, I think it's really good for AJ Styles to move. I think he is someone who we had mentioned as like synonymous with a brand, has been SmackDown since the beginning. And I think has done everything with everyone there. And I think he needed
everything there is to do.
Yeah. He needed to have some kind of change. And I think this is, you know, him versus Seth Rollins is not a match that we've seen in WWE.
No, so but this definitely is a dream match.
Great, yeah.
I think next to that, probably Finn Balor, I think, is going to be doing very well. Because he got drafted to SmackDown, right?
He did.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I think he's going to do great on SmackDown. Again, Finn has always been Raw, so now he's going to have new feuds, new people to work with, some matches that we would love to see again. Like, I can't wait for another Kevin Owens Finn Balor feud.
Yeah. I think that's going to be fantastic if they run it back. I think it's good. Speaking of him, I think it's good for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn that they got broken up again. I think Sami looks actually poised to be a top heel on Raw, where it seems like that Raw always has only heels on it. even more now with I was about to say Bobbert, with Bobby Roode becoming Robert Roode.
Bobbert.
Yeah, so he's now going to be a gigantic heel on Raw.
Robbie Roode.
Yeah, Robbie Roode. Robbie Dollar Signs. I guess Miz becomes a big face on Raw?
That would make sense. Again, like, in the weirdest way, heel Miz is still best Miz for me. And also I feel very let down by the fact that we're not going to get an end to the Miz Shane McMahon storyline yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to get one eventually. They could run this storyline back 2 years from now, but it just, we didn't get an end unless that's the end they want, that Shane McMahon wins because of accident. So,
yeah, maybe they just cut bait and run on that.
Yeah.
So those are some people that we're excited about moving. Are there some people that you fear for having moved, or people that you kind of don't understand the move that they had?
the top of that list being anyone from NXT. I'm very fearful for you guys and gals.
Who the most? I'll run through them for you if you want, real quick, because this also includes the people who were who like didn't have a home yet. So this is Ricochet
and like kind of showed up before Mania. Yeah. So go ahead.
Ricochet, Aleister Black, the Viking Experience. So we'll get into them. EC3, Lars Sullivan, Lacey Evans, Kairi Sane, Heavy Machinery. I'll include Buddy Murphy in there. He's a winner in all of this. Alexander being taken off of 205 Live, which will likely be absorbed as the third hour of SmackDown come October. And that's it, actually.
Yeah. So it's a lot of names. So I was fearful for, honestly, I was fearful for Aleister Black and Ricochet when they seemed to throw these guys together as like a well-known tag team, which they never were in NXT. But now that they have been ultimately split up, I'm very hopeful that each one of them can shine as an individual. I think I have the most hope for Kairi Sane. I think she could really shine or excel in the rosters, but at the same time, like, it's always real hit or miss, like whether or not they ruin the NXT guys. I'm most fearful for the War Machine, War Raiders, have War Viking Experience, Raiders, Viking Warriors.
Yeah, let's get into this a bit, because not only were people shaken up, but a lot of people were repackaged. I think the Kairi Sane one actually is exciting. The idea of her and Asuka managed by Paige seems pretty cool to me. And the Viking Experience, is that, I mean, that's what Wikipedia says right now. So it's bad when we don't know what their name is.
Yes. Yeah, so we honestly don't know what it is. So in NXT, well, let's start at the beginning here. Yeah. The two, Hansen and Raymond Rowe, were a tag team on the indies and Ring of Honor called War Machine.
Yep.
And they were great. And they were basically everything they are now. They were just guys who dressed like Vikings, kind of.
Yeah.
When they were brought to NXT, they changed that to the War Raiders.
Am okay with that, honestly.
Yeah, and well, in retrospect, totally okay with it. At the time, everyone was kind of like, oh, this is pretty stupid. Like, why can't you just keep War Machine? It sounds better.
I have an idea of maybe why they couldn't keep War Machine.
Yeah, but then, like, as this always happens when they do name changes, they're upset. People are upset for a week, and then you kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to War Raiders, and everyone was on board with the War Raiders. When they got drafted to Raw recently, or the main roster at least, they came out as the Viking Experience. Now, not only did they change the name of the tag team, they changed their names as well. They were Hansen and Rowe, and now they are Eric with a K and Ivar.
The most Viking names. Viking names that someone could think of. Yeah.
The Viking Experience. And so that just blew up on the internet of people being like, what is this? This is ridiculous. This is silly. And I think it blew up enough that the following week, and this would be last week, they came out as the Viking, I think the Viking Raiders. Now.
Yeah, I think that's where they've landed. Now.
Yes, the Viking Raiders, which it's silly to me, but at the same, like, it's better than the Viking Experience, but it is silly. But I have to say, I don't agree with it, and I think it's a step down for them. I totally understand why they did the change. Mm-hmm. It's because they were moving from NXT to their main roster show that's going to be on cable television to their young audience, and they don't want to have anything with the name War in it.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
They could have just been the Vikings. I feel like that's the simplest.
Not very creative, but like simple to the point.
And it's like it perfectly describes who and what they are.
Yeah. They're Vikings.
We'll see if they get a name changed again, but becoming tough to, like, it's tough to understand what show people are on right now because it still feels fluid and things haven't moved.
Yes,
and you also have so many people changing their names right now. We also have, as we said, Robert Roode now.
Robert Roode.
With his mustache totally repackaged to be, like, Ravishing Rick Roode. You also have someone who I think is maybe the biggest winner of this period so far. Mm-hmm. And that is the reemerged Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you want to explain maybe to the audience what Bray Wyatt looks like now?
I'll try. So for those guys aren't familiar, Bray Wyatt, he's always been on the main roster, this character. He was kind of a cult leader. He had his own faction called the Wyatt family, and they looked very backwoods, deliverance-esque, like scary country people.
But Bray himself is like supposed to be from the bayou, so he was kind of like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear kind of thing as well. Yeah.
Yes, a little bit. But so now that he's been away for a while, and there was talk that he was going to be repackaged to maybe have a new character. And I'm honestly, like, I am on board, man. I love it. His new character is it's basically a kind of corrupted Mr. Rogers-esque.
Yeah,
sort of
Pee-wee
thing.
Herman kind of vibe too.
Pee-wee Herman, get. Mr. Rogers,
kid show.
So his promo was basically like he had a kid show. I don't remember the name. It was something really outlandish, like Bray Wyatt's Happy Fun Hour or something like that.
Which will be the third hour of Raw going forward. Will be Bray Wyatt's Happy Fun Hour.
I'm all for it. But so in this promo,
it's Firefly Funhouse.
Firefly Funhouse, that's what it was. So he's still Bray Wyatt, and he has elements of Bray Wyatt character, but he's trying to adjust it a little bit. And I really liked it. I thought it was great. Like, in his promo, he's talking to his audience, who are presumably children, and he's saying, you know, like, oh, kids, you know, I used to be a real bad man, but I fixed that. I changed that. But he has all these really weird, sinister undertones that are so great.
And creepy puppets.
Creepy puppets is always a great sinister tone. I love it. Using the chainsaw to cut up a cardboard version of his old self, like, it's great. So I think Bray Wyatt, he's definitely benefited from this. He's still on Raw.
He is on Raw, correct? Okay, he's not moved. He's just going to be coming back.
Yes. So that I think would be the only downside, is that I don't. I mean, then again, it might be the upside, like, maybe an outlandish gimmick like that wouldn't do so well on Fox, or maybe it's more suited to Raw, but...
Well, it is a character, and we know that characters are welcome on USA Network.
This is true. We have been told such. But I think in terms of the roster, I think he would do better on SmackDown, but I'm hopeful for Bray Wyatt.
I think Raw is the right place for him right now, because I think he is someone who does well with having a lot of time in his segments, and for the time being, SmackDown is still 2 hours, which is also why I'm kind of worried that Elias has moved there. It's another guy who I think, you know, 3 hours is a long show, and Elias was always good to eat up 20 minutes by himself, and him eating up 20 minutes on SmackDown is not gonna fly at all. So I'm kind of worried for Elias. But for the exact opposite reason that I'm excited for Bray Wyatt.
Yes, that makes sense.
There's also a few people not on air who seem a little bit affected by this as well. What do we think about the potential career-ending injury for Sheamus?
It's unfortunate. It's always unfortunate to hear something about that. In a positive, trying to take the silver lining here, is that I think this might finally be an opportunity for Cesaro to really excel as a singles competitor. But yeah, I mean, it sucks to hear.
Yeah. And you also have Wyatt family ex-member Luke Harper requesting his release, and now being told he's not going to be granted for it. And beyond that, not only is he going to have to sit out the rest of his contract if he so chooses, but they're adding, was it 9 months back onto his contract from when he was hurt?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Which, it's... Oh, man, like, this is just... It's crazy that this is one of those moments where it's like, Like, that's not okay. Like, that's not a... This is not a good business practice. And it sucks when you see stuff, like, backstage stuff like that going down, that it's affecting real people. It just sucks.
Yeah. It's frustrating to me. Also, we'll note this one, too, of backstage stuff affecting the shakeup is mm-hmm. Andrade and Zelina Vega and Aleister Black were all put onto Raw. And then the next week, they were put back to mm-hmm. SmackDown. And that is because a few different reasons. It seemed Fox really wanted to have a big Latino star, and they wanted to keep Andrade on SmackDown. And mm-hmm. Andrade did not want to be broken up with his legit girlfriend, Charlotte Flair,
mm-hmm.
which meant that if Andrade's moving, then Zelina Vega, his manager, is moving. Mm-hmm. And a big thing that they try to do in these drafts is not break up married couples. So then Zelina Vega's real married husband, Aleister Black, then moves as well.
Yep.
I think this is actually going to end up being a bad thing career-wise for Andrade. I feel like he really? Would have been a big star on Raw. I think they could have turned him face. Because I don't see where the faces are on Raw.
See, I agree with that, but at the same time, I actually think this is good for Andrade because, well, so first off, I think it's funny that literally, I think because Andrade sparked all of these changes where, like, Fox wanted Andrade on SmackDown, so they moved Andrade to SmackDown, but WWE didn't want Andrade to lose Zelina Vega as a manager, so they moved Zelina Vega to SmackDown. But then they also don't want Zelina Vega to be unhappy because her husband's on Raw, so they moved her husband to SmackDown. Like, it was just this funny, like, domino effect. But honestly, I think Andrade can do really well on SmackDown because think about it this way: if the rumors are true that Fox directly said we want Andrade on SmackDown because we really want a top Latino star for our Latino market, Andrade could be pushed very well on SmackDown.
That is true.
Not to mention that he's also an amazing in-ring wrestler. He can have amazing matches. Him and Zelina Vega are a great pair. They are super captivating and so much fun to watch. Like, I think it's much better that he's on SmackDown than Raw.
You might have convinced me on that. Well, that is where the roster stands as of today. I feel like there will still be some changes this week, maybe. Yep. But soon,
and again, we're not sure this thing is over yet.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope it's over soon, though, because it's tough for me to remember where people are supposed to be at the moment, because there was a lot of changes.
Yes.
But speaking of changes, has anything changed on the Kayfabe 5000?
So nothing really big has changed. I did definitely have to run a in-depth diagnostic on it the last time we were in it. Again, it's usually not built for three people, so
yeah, I blame Pat,
wondering
too.
If it might have messed something up, you know. Honestly, I'm curious, like, maybe Pat might have, like, left a Butterfinger wrapper in there or something. You know, it's not cool, like, it's gonna mess up the machine. But I think we got it working, it's ready to go.
Great. Let's hop on into the Kayfabe 5000 then.
Oh, yeah!
I wish you died in the womb!
Me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
Oh, there's,
Oh, boy.
A big board up here. It almost looks like a draft board. Mm-hmm. Professor Ward, can you tell me what's going on in here today?
Oh, absolutely, sir. This is the first annual Much Ado About Wrestling Kayfabe G5 Super Shuffle.
Oh, the Super Shuffle. I feel like I heard the Chicago Bears sing a song about that at some point.
That's it's quite possible they stole it from me, though. Trademark. So the Much Ado About Wrestling Super Shuffle, Andrew K. Faberline. Mm-hmm. We will be drafting our own rosters of professional wrestlers here. Each of us will get 5 picks of men, 5 women, and 5 tag teams.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited about this. Can I ask one formatting question about this draft?
No, you may not.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I suppose I will allow one question, please.
Are we going to go like our five men picks in a row and then do our five women? Or is it like we're going to do 15 picks, but you have to do five of each category?
I say we'll go five and then five and then five and then five. And five
great.
And five.
That sounds good.
Sweet.
So are you flipping a kayfabed coin to decide who gets the first pick?
Absolutely. Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Shwing, shwing.
That's the sound of a coin.
Yeah.
Shwing. is Wolverine
like it's
there?
Heads.
Who's with heads?
Yours.
Okay, great. So I'm going to have the first pick. Are we doing the men first?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I've got my big dossier here with all of the members of the dossier. WWE roster. And I think that as my first pick in the Super Shuffle, I think that I'm going to take Seth Rollins.
Ooh, okay. Good pick. Universal Champion, okay.
Yeah, I wanted a title on
CrossFit
my show.
CrossFit Jesus, okay.
CrossFit Jesus, he's a deity. And, you know, if The Undertaker is someone who's unstoppable and was really only stopped by Brock Lesnar, then by stopping Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins is the best person you could possibly pick in this draft,
damn.
I think.
Yep, I mean, that is solid. Those are some good reasonings right there.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good first pick. Good first pick out the gate. For me, my first pick, you know, you always want your first pick to be someone who you can really build your brand around, someone who can be your top guy, the face of your company, if you will. And I really can't think of a better face than Roman Reigns right there.
Oh, yeah. He does have a nice face, too.
Very nice face. Very handsome face, yes. Good jawline.
So are you worried at all about his illness or his condition stopping? Like, you don't want to have someone who can have to take time off again as your big cornerstone.
I mean, that's fair, but I mean, you know, he beat it last time. Doesn't seem like it's going to be coming back. You know, he's good to go. He's the big dog, Andrew. Come on.
He is a very large canine. I will agree with that. Oh man, looking at my list now, because he was high on my list too. I'm going to go with someone else who I think has championship potential.
Okay.
Because I want my show to be the A show, so I got to make sure that I have A-plus players. So I'm going to have Daniel Bryan will be the second pick.
The new Daniel Bryan?
Yes, I'm sorry. The new Daniel Bryan, not Daniel Bryan Classic.
Right, Classic.
Yeah. Okay. I know he doesn't have a title right now, but he held a title for so long, and that's the kind of people I want on my show.
Absolutely. Longevity. I like it. Well, you know, I mean, to keep up this kind of theme right here of, you know, picking your guy's nemesis, if you will, my second pick has got to be Kofi Kingston.
Oh, you get your first champion.
Got to have him. Want the WWE champion.
Interesting. Because I was thinking if you get the New Day with him as well, or if you just get... Or if you just get Kofi.
Well, I think it's just Kofi right now, which, okay, let's be honest, he has proven he can excel as a singles competitor, but that doesn't mean the rest of the New Day can't be on its way.
That is true. So then looking at who is out there, I want someone else. Again, I'm trying to stick with champions. I'm going to take somebody who kind of is like getting two picks in one. So okay. I'm going to take Finn Balor.
Ooh.
He's the current Intercontinental Champion. He's great in his own right. But, you know, he can also be a demon, which
that's
is like
true.
A second total roster member. Yeah, I only have to pay him once.
I like it. That's two and one right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a really good pick. I think I'm going to need maybe a smaller guy who can compete kind of on Finn's level, you know, move around as quickly as he does. And honestly, I can't think of a better one. In fact, I think I can't think of a better one, and only. So I guess it's got to be Ricochet. Yeah.
Oh man, that's like a blue chipper right there. Mm-hmm. If I were Jim Ross, I would say he's a blue chipper. Yeah, a lot of upside. I still wonder if maybe you took that pick a little early.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Still got a lot to prove.
All right. Well, you know, I'd be happy for him to prove it on my brand.
Oh, okay. I guess that's a good point. I'm trying to stick with people who are already proven. So I'm going to take someone who is good in competition with anybody, can fight against anybody, and mm-hmm. that is AJ Styles.
Oh, the phenomenal one.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. That is very good.
There's a lot of hair on my my roster right now. I'm looking
a lot of hair.
Lots of hair of various places and,
that's
and
fair.
Shapes. Yeah.
And I mean, maybe next round you need like a Cesaro or a Kurt Angle or something.
Yeah.
Or a Ricochet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I like that's a good pick. Good pick. For my fourth pick, and this one's going to be a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to delve into the NXT roster for this
Ooh.
One. I think I need a showman on my show. And I really just don't think there's a better one than the Velveteen Dream.
Oh man. You really are going to have like the youth roster mm-hmm. in this one. That's a really interesting pick. Oh man. How is it going to work with Velveteen Dream and Ricochet being on the roster together? I feel like they've had a checkered past.
I feel like they have, and wouldn't you love to see that past unfold?
Yeah, but not as much as I'd love to see the people I drafted.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So as my final male pick, I feel like I need somebody who can be a real game changer.
Okay.
Or I can just stick with people with hair. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm taking Robert Roode as my fifth and final pick of my new roster.
Yes.
I'm going to get a bunch of money from sponsorships from like Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
And, that kind of stuff.
You pick the superstar with the hair where it counts, and yeah. that's on the upper lip.
Who are you taking as your last male pick, Tyler?
That's a good one. For my last male pick, I think you gotta have a big man. You gotta have your powerhouse, your monster, if mm-hmm. you will, your monster among your superstars. And I'm going for Braun Strowman.
Oh, Tyler, I think you just fell for such a trap. Like, just think about your budget and how much of it is gonna go to repairing the stuff that he destroys.
I mean, it's true. Like, we're going to have to, it's going to take a bite out of the profits, but you know, I think it's worth it. I think the spectacle, if you will be worth it.
You might have to do like a rideshare program so that like there are less cars that are there that he can destroy.
Everyone has to, you're required to park your car in the lot across the street where no filming will be happening.
I like that. So then you should take the first pick for the females.
Oh, Andrew. Yeah. I appreciate your generosity, if you will. You're such a gentleman.
Yeah.
But you are also a fool, for I will be taking Becky Lynch.
Oh, I'm screwed. I mean, that's also another person that's going to – it's nice to have her, but, like, she's going to be a headache. I mean, she's a former criminal. She's been arrested twice this calendar year.
This is true. She's been arrested a lot. She has a problem with authority.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could come up, but I mean, she's the man. You got to have a man on your roster.
You might have a man. I'm going to have a queen. I'm going to take Charlotte Flair.
Ah, well played, sir. Well played. Don't have any fault for that one. Yeah.
I mean,
well played.
I think that one's pretty obvious. I mean, she's the most winningest woman of all time.
Yep, so. That was well played. That's good. I mean, obviously, Charlotte Flair is if Becky Lynch is one, Charlotte Flair is certainly a 1A. I think my second pick has got to be the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka.
Oh, interesting. So you've got a lot of former championship firepower mm-hmm. on your roster there.
Proven draws, if you will.
Yeah. I think I need someone with a little more future upside now.
Okay.
So I'm going to take someone who always leaves you wanting more, someone who I think star is shining so bright right now that I can't see how it could possibly go wrong, and that is Lacey Evans.
Ooh, the also, lady of WWE.
Also because, like, if Charlotte Flair gets hurt, then I have someone who's pretty similar to her that I
you
can slot in.
You have a stunt double.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
That's good. I like that. I like that. It's a good pick. Good pick. Let's see. My third pick of the female roster. Much like my pick of the five male superstars, you know, I want to give a lot of opportunity to the young talent out there. And I really have a lot of high hopes for this next one, but I gotta pick. I'm gonna delve back into that NXT pot, and I'm drafting Io Shirai.
Ooh, okay, all right.
Best moonsault in the business, man.
Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna do that, then I gotta anticipate what we're gonna do next, and I'm gonna take Kairi Sane.
Ah, oh, you son of a bitch!
That's what you were gonna do, right?
That's about it. Yeah. That was, yes, well played, well played.
Yeah. I got to have the yin to your yang, and that sounded way more racist than I anticipated. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah. We each two ladies left.
For my fourth pick, again, I like, you know, giving that spotlight to that younger talent, but at the same time, sometimes you got to have a wild card, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a loose cannon, if you will.
Dean Ambrose?
And I want Nikki Cross.
Okay.
You thought I was going to say Dean Ambrose. No, I want Nikki Cross.
Okay. All right. I can respect that. I think, you know, combining that with Becky Lynch and Braun Strowman and Velveteen Dream, I feel like your office is going to be a nightmare. You know, I'm trying to think about all aspects of my show. So I want someone who's not just a great and proven in-ring competitor, but is also someone who can do some hosting duties or some talk show duties if needed. Mm-hmm. So I am taking Alexa Bliss.
Oh, also a very good one. Very good one. She can play. She can do double duty. I mean, if you need a commentator or something, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Okay. Okay. For my final pick of the female roster. Decisions. You know, I think you got to have someone who's going to keep their spirits up. Someone who's going to keep everyone happy. Make it a real, you know, friendly environment backstage. Maybe dish out a couple hugs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got to go for Bayley.
That's an interesting pick. I like her getting her this late in the draft. She mm-hmm. certainly is a great wrestler, but again, she can't really do much more than that. It's funny you mentioned that I am going to need I could use Alexa Bliss to commentate, because as I can see right now, you don't have any commentators, any referees, anyone who could do anything else on your show besides wrestle, and I'm about to have Renee Young as my final pick.
Well played.
So I'm going to have backstage interviews and at least one commentator.
Okay, well played, well played. All right, what could I, can I substitute out? I'm gonna get rid of Nikki Cross, sorry Nikki, and I'm gonna draft that female referee from NXT, I believe her name's Jessica something.
Great, love it.
Brilliant. All right, Andrew, the last round, this is the tag team division, and you get the first pick.
Great. See, because I took Renee Young, who's not really a wrestler, I feel like I need to have a few more ladies on my roster, and I need another champion, so I'm taking the Iconics as my first pick.
Dang it.
I took that right away from you.
That was literally my first pick. I wanted the Iconics. Ah, well played. I was going to draft them in my women's thing to be like my fourth and fifth pick. Touche. Well, I'm going to have to retaliate now, Andrew. I didn't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do this first pick, but you're forcing my hand. I think that, you know, I lost the Iconics, and they were going to be a big part of my roster. They were going to make my roster stand out. They were going to make it you couldn't compete with them. I think another word for that would be undisputed.
Uh-oh.
So I am going to take the entirety of the Undisputed Era.
Wow.
Thank you.
Talk about getting four picks in one. That's impressive. Wow.
You forced my hand, Andrew.
I think you're going to force my hand right back because I'm going to take the New Day, the remaining members of the New Day.
No!
Which means with Xavier Woods and with Big E, I have a great tag team. I have people who can do hosting duties if they need to. I'm going to have Up, Down, Down as an exclusive on my show. So,
well played.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that? All right.
This is getting heated, Andrew. This is getting really heated over here. I'm going to try to cool things down a little bit, bring it back down, get it more down to a more friendly level. I'm going to take, I think, for my next tag team, I'm going to take the Usos. You know, they're time-tested. They are a great tag team. They're veterans at this point. They're going to be a great staple in my tag division.
Interesting. Well, I think that I'm already kind of thinking about the first big match that I'm going to put on. And I'm going to have a tag team champions versus tag team champions intergender match because I am taking the Hardy Boys.
Okay. All right. Going for that veteran aspect. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
They can mentor if I need trainers eventually. They can be them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a pretty good one. I like it. Let's see then. I guess I'm going to have to find me another tag team that can compete with some of these picks you're pulling out. That's a tough one. You know what? I'm going to say that WWE, you made a mistake, and you never should have split these gentlemen up. But I, if you'll allow me, I'm going to draft a rebuilt version of the Wyatt family.
So who all is involved in that?
The OG Wyatts, Bray, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper, since I already have Braun Strowman and the other guys aren't really doing much right now.
That's testy, but I'll allow it. That's okay then, because that advertised intergender tag team champions match that I had, we're going to make it a TLC match. I'm throwing in a third team who are also champions, and I am taking Zack Ryder and and Curt Hawkins.
You, my man, you're building your tag division around one match.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I'm all right with that. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's pretty good. That's very good. That's a tough one. And I think, you know, it's tough. A lot of tag teams have been broken up on the main roster, and it's trying to, you know, you could, it's kind of hard to pick them out here, but I think, again, gonna have to delve back into that NXT pot. It's a good pot down there. And I am definitely, I think I need someone, again, someone who's fun, someone who's gonna bring the enjoyment. I want the Street Profits.
Oh, they're also gonna keep everyone well hydrated, I feel like, too.
Very well hydrated.
Yeah. Well, with my last pick, see, here's the problem. I shouldn't have taken the New Day because there are two teams left who have tag team belts, and I just want to get all of the teams that have belts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to delve across the pond, and I'm going to take the NXT UK tag team champions, Zach Gibson and James Drake.
Oh, wow. Well played. Got some bruisers. I like it. Well, Andrew, I guess this is my last pick. Or is this my last pick?
Yep.
This is my last pick. You know what? I think I just got to go all out here, Andrew. And, you know, some people might say they're not active wrestlers anymore, but we did see them wrestle a match last year. So I got to take the Brothers of Destruction. I want Kane and The Undertaker.
I thought you were about to take Enzo and Big Cass.
Oh, no. No.
That's a pretty good steal.
Not even in kayfabe do I want them.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like this has only made me excited for my show. Your show's fine, too, but I think mine's very, very good.
I think mine would be on Fox. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take USA. I'm a character.
Characters welcome.
Well, the time is running down on the draft clock, so should we get out of the kayfabe?
We should probably hop out. We don't want this draft or superstar shuffle up. Shuffle. I don't remember the word I said.
The super shuffle. The super shuffle.
The super shuffle. We don't want the super shuffle to go on longer than is needed.
So, yeah, we're not here to cause no trouble. So, yeah.
Yeah, we ain't here to cause no trouble.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still real to me, damn it.
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam, is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I'm slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh boy, that was more tedious than the NFL draft.
But at the same time, I'm glad we did it.
Are you? I feel like I have no idea who's on any show in real life now after that. Like, I'm just even more confused.
I'm going to be more confused watching Raw thinking that I'm going, or SmackDown thinking I'm going to be seeing my roster, but
yeah,
nope.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, that's all the time that we have for the show today. Tyler, do you got anything you want to tell us about?
Not too much. In terms of the music world, the Turbo Mansion world, we are almost finished writing the second album. We are working on the last song now. It is coming together, but once we have that, we will be figuring out studio time and stuff at the end of the summer. But in the meantime, you can find us, of course, at all of our normal places. We are on Spotify. I think we're on iTunes and Apple Music and all that good stuff. The Bandcamp. You can find us on Facebook. All that good stuff.
Yeah. And a reminder, if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, if you want us to give you, if you want to give us some draft analysis,
yep,
on the picks that we just made,
how bad our picks were.
Yeah, yeah, you can submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter, we're at @dowrestling, or you can email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. You can also find the show on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Please leave us a review while you're there. Mm-hmm. And that's all that I've got right now, too, I think, as all far right. as plugs
what's,
go.
Let's say what's happening on the audio book realm.
Oh, yeah. I have to interview a lot of people this week, so there will be new episodes coming out. Here's what I'll say. The last episode that we did of Harper Audio Presents, we did a contest where if you win, you get, I think it's 6 different LPs of audiobooks that we did on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
So there's some like Charles Bukowski in there. There's an Amy Poehler vinyl, a Welcome to Night Vale vinyl, a few others. So if you're someone who has a record player, go listen to that episode and we tell you how to enter that contest. So there's still time to win some vinyl. Yeah.
Cool.
Well then, until the next draft, we're going to leave you, as we always do, in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Dig it!
Ooh, man. I want to see someone next year trade the number one draft pick or the number one shakeup pick for someone else.
I'll trade you that seed one pick for two later.
For cash. Yeah.
I want to see them trade in like superstars. Yeah. All right, look, I'll give you the Iconics for some.